the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. When Jesus turned and saw them following him, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." The invitation of a lifetime. Come and see. And they followed him. I am a big believer in the power of belonging. When I was the principal of a middle school, my main focus was on helping create an environment where every child feels like they belong. Not just fit in or tolerated, but truly belong, like everyone misses you when you're not there kind of belonging. Creating this kind of inclusive environment is not the goal where one day you say, "Great, I'm finished, I'm done, what's next?" This is more of a aiming in a direction, constantly aware of how well you're doing and when we're off target, and recentering and trying again. Creating a sense of belonging is always a work in progress. Some days at my school, we did better than others. There's the day, for example, when the baseball team was just starting their spring practices. They were excited and working on their team building, and the captains decided that they needed to bond in some way. This is what they told me, at least. I'm going to tell you what happened. You see, each day in the middle school, we had a 20-minute morning break. Students could get a snack in the cafeteria, go outside and throw the frisbee, sit and relax with friends, get some help from a teacher, any number of things during this 20 minutes. And at the end of the break, they were to get on back to class. And this day, as I was standing outside in the hallway watching kids come back from break, it was getting late and late, and some boys came scrambling back in a hurry, running back in, trying to make it to class on time, and I just figured they'd been outside, had lost track of time. They ran by the office, and I went back to my desk. A few minutes later, a teacher came into my office with one of the boys. He had a baseball hat on. This is how I knew he was a baseball player. This boy's name was Trey. And we had rules, of course, about having hats on in the building, but I knew this is not why the teacher had brought the boy to me. She was perfectly capable of handling a boy who didn't take his hat off. They came in, nonetheless, and she said, "I'm pretty sure," as she told the boy to slowly remove, as the boy slowly removed his hat, "I'm pretty sure Trey's hair did not look like this before break." And as I saw him take off his hat, all I could say was, "Oh my." Trey's head was half bald. The bare side was patchy and red, and the other side was long like it had been before. And all he could say was, "The clippers got clogged." It was clear to me that the team had gotten the idea of belonging, maybe too well. They decided during break to shave one another's heads in the locker room. And I got the delight of calling home to explain to the parents what happened to the hair. You see, the team wanted to mark themselves as one in the spirit of baseball, and they took on this identity marker, bad haircuts. The parents took control, of course, after this and really did shave everyone's head, and they really all did look alike, and they bonded over this matter. The drama teacher was not quite so happy because Trey was also the lead in the play 3 weeks later, and he was supposed to have hair. Well, this was a problem. The truth is, though, that we all have identity markers. We mark ourselves. We wear Wildcat t-shirts or silver crosses around our necks. We put bumper stickers on our cars to say that we're animal lovers or crazy about coffee. As a child, I thought my father's bumper sticker was pretty lame. It said, "I break for coffee." Golfers have their favorites. I like the one that says, "Who's your caddy?" And runners have theirs too. I think they're a little bit more serious. They have simple round stickers that say 26.2 or 13.1, or as one of my seminarian friends says, her favorite is 0.0. We talk about marking ourselves on this day when we hear once again the story of Jesus' baptism, and we prepare to say the ancient words of our tradition, marking a young man as Christ's own, marking him with identity, belonging to the body of Christ. I'm a big believer in the power of belonging because first, it is how God made us. It is not good that you are alone, God said in Genesis, and God created a companion for Adam. We humans thrive when surrounded by a healthy community, and we struggle with feelings of unworthiness or humiliation or fear when we're left out or alone. Secondly, community is what we are called into by Christ. Jesus models this for us, calling others to join him, including those people who were deemed outcasts by society. Jesus taught and ate and prayed and walked with a community of believers and helped them, and he helps us by this model to understand that we are part of something greater than ourselves. When Jesus said simply, "Come and see," he began building a community to serve others, to learn about God's gracious goodness, and to resist the powers that be who seem to care more about rules than about people. Jesus gave this group of followers a new identity, a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We are Christ's body now, a community, called to love in the face of all odds. As Jesus' disciples, we are called to be about his work, creating a real belonging in opposition to a culture that insists we divide, take sides, and keep distance from those who are not like us. How do we best prepare ourselves for this? For years now, I've been fascinated by the social science researcher Brené Brown. I don't know if you've heard some of her TED Talks, but she is pretty amazing. She studied vulnerability and shame, and her most recent work is about belonging. In her research, she's visited middle schools and studied group bonding. And what she learned in this actually surprised her. Brené learned that an important part of the practice of belonging is being able to stand alone, to be authentic. We ourselves cannot belong unless we are willing to be true to ourselves. It might seem a little contradictory. It's a paradox, she says, but saying in order to belong, to truly belong, we cannot pretend to be someone we're not, playing at it or acting like others, in order to feel more included, doesn't create true belonging. If we want to create belonging for ourselves and others, we must be willing to stand alone and stand up for what we believe. This is what Jesus did, teaching that each and every person is loved by God, and that God's love and forgiveness is for each person. If we want to create belonging in this world that so desperately needs it, we must be true to who God made us to be. Because it is only in being truly authentic that we can allow others to also be authentic. In a few minutes, we're going to say the baptismal covenant together. It's a statement of faith and a statement of how we will live out that faith. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and in the prayers? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons? Will you respect the dignity of every human being? These questions state our commitment to carry on Jesus' work of belonging as the priesthood of all believers. Leonidas, today you're joining a great big family, the family of God, we call the church. This family needs you and your work. Today, in your baptism, we are reminded of the work that we're set out to do. We remind ourselves, too, of the ancient vision of the church, that we are a priestly people set apart for ministry in our own baptisms. We are strengthened here in our worship together, and we're given the power of the Holy Spirit to make Christ's love manifest in the world, to make Christ's love real. In your baptism, you are joining the priesthood of believers, each of us ordained by God to share our gifts, each of us with different strengths. Some of your new family members preach the grace of Christ every week by taking meals to people in their homes who can't get out and who are hungry. Some of your new family members preach the grace of Christ working in recovery programs. Some of them are healers, visiting with those who are sick or suffering, volunteering at the hospital, or going on medical mission trips. Some are teachers, offering their skills to help encourage curiosity and learning in young people. And still others reach out a kind word to strangers, donate to causes that help the poor, and just call a friend to offer them some hope. They may not even know it, but they are priests in this way. And today we welcome you into this priesthood, ready to share with you Christ's eternal priesthood, and ready to say, as Christ did so long ago, come and see. Thanks be to God.